Welcome back to Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. Today we're going to talk about a topic that's near and dear to the hearts of Vanguard Media. It's related to C4ISR and its capability. We want to really hone in on the concept of Brigade as a platform. And where is the Canadian Army heading with modernizing its C4ISR capability? We're going to examine what are some of the risks and how can they mitigate them. Joining me to talk about all of this is my very special guest, retired Colonel Richard Fawcett. A little bit about Mr. Fawcett. He served 34 years in the Canadian Armed Forces and is now the Director of Strategy and Customer Engagement, Land and Joint Solutions at General Dynamics Mission Systems Canada. He's focused on supporting the Canadian Army's Land Command Support System. During his career, Rick served in a variety of command and staff appointments locally in Canada, but also internationally with both NATO and the United Nations. After a long and successful career with the Canadian Armed Forces, Rick retired in January 2013, and a year later he joined General Dynamics as the Director of Business Development, focusing on Canadian land and joint markets. His responsibility today is primarily on the Canadian Army, engaging with customer in support of both current and future programs. He's also supporting international opportunities with customer engagement. Rick, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Hey, thanks very much. It's good to be here.
So let's begin with Brigade as a platform. Can you tell us about the origins of this concept?
So this is an idea that has been formulating in my mind probably for 20 years. And while I was serving, in addition to all the fun stuff overseas I did a couple of postings within the Directive of Land Requirements where I looked after land C4ISR. And I always had a challenge explaining how and why you need, quite frankly, the significant investment in C4ISR capabilities when the Army was very much focused on rifles and tanks and LAVs, which are all obviously incredibly important. And I always looked sort of at the Navy. And when the Navy buys a ship comes with everything. It comes with its weapon systems, its sensors, and it's already integrated into their combat mission system. And it was trying to, that thought implied to the Army that buys the tank, then it buys a rifle, then it buys a radio, then it buys helmets. It buys a bunch of dispersed systems and capabilities. And it seemed the integration was sort of a second thought. And I always felt the Navy had it the right way. And so that's where the platform idea came. And then over the past couple of years, especially as a result of SSE, where the level of ambition for the nation has gone back to being a brigade, stated in that policy, that just the idea of a brigade as a platform and looking at the whole as opposed to the individual pieces started formulating. In fact, when I was writing the article for Vanguard earlier this year, or late last year, that the actual term brigade as a platform came out. And then the idea was if you treat it as a platform, then you can apply platform level principles of engineering to that entity. And so the brigade is a platform, and the whole idea was to apply a systems view of it. And that's where the concept has come from. And it continues to emerge and evolve, literally with every discussion I have, and I suspect over the course of the next few minutes, it'll continue to evolve.
So is it safe to say that the timing is right to introduce this platform now?
It couldn't be a better time. Again, out of SSE comes a number of capital initiatives. The ones that I'm very much focused on is what's called SSE Initiative 42, which is the land C4ISR programs, of which there's six. And there are six individual programs within SSE 42. And even to use the Army's own analysis, there's a minimum of 15 others, but you could argue way more than that. Different programs that are all impact on the C4ISR system. So the risk here would be if you don't take a systems view, you'd end up with all these stovepipe capabilities, and that's not going to get the Army to where it needs to be, and it certainly doesn't take a platform, a view of it. So now is the time, because they're about to roll out all these new programs, and if it could end up going the wrong way if they don't take this platform view. So that's sort of why it's come now again.
So the integration is key. I'm going to throw you a bit of a curveball here. A lot of times I'm hearing discussions around COVID and will budgets, especially around the investment of technology, be cut? Like how are people going to pay for things? Do you see that affecting any of the introduction and implementation of this platform? Because I would assume technology is playing a huge role in this.
Absolutely. Technology plays a huge role in it. And I think there's two questions there. So is COVID and the impacts and how the government responds to COVID going to have an impact on the overall program? To be totally honest, my view is that you'd be a fool to think things aren't going to change.
Yes.
But that doesn't change the need. And there's still, even today, the Army has labs, it has tanks, it's just purchased ACSV, it's got MRR, the radar system, it has lots of pieces, and it continues to try to employ this, and it has support contracts. So even without new capital, there's still a requirement to further integrate these platforms into a more holistic solution or capability.
In terms of today, where do you feel the Army is in terms of C4ISR solutions?
The Army has a system. They call it the Land Command Support System, or it's evolving to be called the Land C4ISR System. It has it's a digitized system, a digital system. It has been for a number of years. It has the capability to pass data. The Army has a number of sensors. The Army has command posts. The Army has staff procedures. They have staff structures. They have all the individual building blocks, with a few rather important pieces missing, but they're not necessarily organized and viewed in the right way. So I would argue that the Army has the base pieces today that, again, with a little bit of a system view, or a lot of a system view, to be totally honest, they can generate far more capability than what they are with what they have today. You throw in some capital to enhance bearers or networks, radios, so you have better ability to pass data. Like I said, there are a few pieces that are missing or are really in need of updating. And then you just make that system even better. But I emphasize, the Army has a network today. The Army has an approach today. The Army has tools to actually modify that they can keep going. There is another problem the Army has today. Now I'm going to go on my soapbox a bit. Is the Army, and when I say the Army, it's broader than the Army. It's the Army. It's the the ADMAT structures that support the Army. It's the other elements of government that actually allow this to facilitate this happening. Treasury Board, PSPC, ISED, and its industry, who have delivered all this equipment. They've very much been focused on delivering pieces. And they haven't stepped back to take that bigger view. And in many cases, a lot of the pieces that we're still using today, are the result of specific needs that generated out of Afghanistan. And where it was, there's an immediate need to deal, slightly not related what it is deal with IED. So they did lots of work and bought stuff to deal with IEDs. They didn't have the time then to look at the overall integration they're doing with individual problems. Now, I believe they need to step back and look at that bigger picture to bring it together. They can do that today. They have the mechanisms, but whether they do or not is another thing. Part of this delivery of technology, and this comes back to an earlier comment you made, was very much focused on technology and not what I and others refer to as institutionalization. So technology requires training. It requires different elements of support. Sometimes it requires some different tactics and procedures, maybe even some different doctrine. They haven't taken that whole view, which the Army calls PRICEY plus G, and I wish I could remember what all the acronym stands for, but it's basically looking at the people, the equipment, the training, any infrastructure required, doctrine, et cetera, instead of just buying a piece of kit. They haven't done that yet for everything. So there's another shortfall that can be addressed today. The other challenge that the Army has today is by delivering lots of individual pieces of kit that aren't integrated, the burden on the individual operator, whether it be a signal operator who's trying to set up and run a system, or a combat operator who is actually trying to use a system, is it adds a burden. You know, they already have, you know, the infantryman already has a job, and that's being an infantryman. If you now need him to be a system manager and program and set up pieces of comm equipment, that's just a burden. That's a step too far. And he doesn't have time, or she doesn't have time to do that. So instead of just delivering more technology, we need to, I use the term simplify, and that might be a simplistic view of it, but we need to simplify how the user interfaces and how he uses the equipment. The same is true for the Signal Corps, who are responsible to plan, deploy, manage these networks and systems. The Signal Corps has its own training challenges. It also has its own recruiting challenges. So if we deploy five systems that are different, that each require five operators, but they only have 10, they can't run all those systems. So we need an integrated approach within, you know, reduce that overhead so that the Signal Corps could actually plan, deploy, and operate these systems.
So what I'm hearing here is there is the ability to affect this change. There's some wonderful opportunities. But Rick, maybe you could comment a little bit about, are there any risks with this new platform, and how do you anticipate that and work around it?
There's all kinds of risks. So the first risk is that the program as it's currently envisioned doesn't happen. And why that's a risk is, I would argue that some of the challenges that are being faced today, instead of being addressed today, they're being left to the fielding of SSC programs. If those are delayed, which we've already talked about is highly probable, or scaled back, those challenges, some of which are significant or from an operational perspective, aren't being addressed, but they could be. So we're just, you know, kicking the can down the road, and there's no end to that, fixing some of those problems. So there's a risk. There's a risk that you field capability in the wrong sequence. So everything runs on top of the network. If you throw in a whole bunch of new sensors right now that the network can't support, those sensors now become isolated little islands. And that doesn't give you any real value. Other challenge that I hear the Army, and it's not, this isn't just Army, this is a joint, a pan-CAF problem, is that they're generating so much data, but they haven't been given the tools to process that data, to interpret that data, to make use of it. So it's just raw data. Some of it literally goes into the ether because there's no way to store it. Other parts get stored, but there's no way ability to retrieve it in an effective manner, certainly in a timely manner. And then it's how do you present data? And this is a problem that it's not just the military, you know, and just everyone has this problem today. Man, I sit at my desk and I'm looking at two different computers and two phones, and things are always coming at me. How do you present that data so a person can actually absorb it and pick out the pieces that are important? So there's another risk, is if we just create more data without giving the tools and the structures and the processes to change that data into information, that information into action, it from a military perspective is of no value. So there's just some of the risks. And then there's a whole manning risk, is if and training and institutionalization. If you can't train, you know, first recruit them and train them and keep them current, then they can't use the systems either.
Boy, data plays such a big role as well. And that certainly does outline some of the risks associated with it. Rick, in your role with General Dynamics, can you share with us how General Dynamics is approaching future programs like this? What are you guys doing, and what's the plan?
So, you know, us, and I'm sure every other defense electronics company, we're tracking very carefully the information that comes out. The Army and, you know, their affiliated ADM MAT divisions haven't actually come out and said, here's what we want to do exactly. So it's coming out now. There's a series of requests for information that have come out, and we track that very carefully to look for trends as we put together what the whole requirement is. And we very much try to break it down as we have this brigade as a platform view. that we try to make sure we understand how everything fits together. So when we respond to the Crown or all these RFIs, we give them a consistent picture that shows the network which they own, which I think is very important that sometimes I think they forget. It's their network. It's their architecture. How the pieces fit together, and we try to explain, you know, again, from our perspective, slightly privileged because we do work with DLCSPM and ADM or DGLEPM staff every day on the architecture and how it comes together and how you're going to modify today's baseline system. So we have a good view. So we try to explain and lay out, if you don't do this, well, this part's not going to work. So we try to do everything as in the light of the bigger picture while we answer their specific questions. So that's one example of what we're doing. We also, because we are the support contractor today, we work very closely with our customer, who works very closely with the Army, trying to make sure that the system that we're delivering today forms as baseline to which they can then move forward from. You know, it's no secret there are some deficiencies today that we are very much trying to address so that they have this baseline capability or what is being now referred to as a line of departure for SSC 42. Those aren't my words. Those are words coming out of the department. That's another aspect of what we're trying to do. And the other thing we do is we work with other companies. Like, it's not just General Dynamics. It's not just going to be someone else. We are very much working with other companies, either on today's work, bringing them in to do areas where they have expertise, or working with potential partners for the future to how we can deliver this a holistic solution that, you know, attributes to or leads to the Brigaza platform.
Lots to look forward to in terms of this platform and improving C4ISR capability for sure. Rick, one final question and a little bit of a teaser for our audience and our listenership in the hopes that you will come back and update us. What do you think comes next for C4ISR?
So I think dialogue is very important. My hat's off to Vanguard and Terry in particular. We started this journey a few years ago with C4ISR and beyond. Certain themes have marched through that, and we're going to continue that. And as we get closer and closer to the actual fielding but the release of new programs, which will lead to fielding, that broader dialogue is important. And I say C4ISR and beyond, I've had the privilege, I think, of three of the last four of being, you know, either on a panel or leading a panel, discussing various aspects of this. This discussion has to continue because it's very much, it's a team effort. And that team is clearly led by the Army, supported by ADMAT, DGLEPM staff, who are then supported by industry, with PSPC, ISED, and others within government being real key facilitators to this. But it's working together that we're going to come up with a solution so that the Army can deploy the Brigaza platform. And at the end of the day, it's all about delivering combat effect, and whether it be kinetic or non-kinetic. And as you say, at the center of it is data. And there will never be a discussion about C4ISR, whether it be land, joint, air, or Navy, but doesn't have at the center of the discussion data, because data becomes information, information drives action. That's, I think, an important thing. So we're in discussions now of how do we carry this discussion on. So this is one example, one step of it, but we're looking at things like webinars, maybe other podcasts, other platforms, especially in the era of, you know, COVID-imposed dispersion, how we can continue the discussion and broaden it to bring in more and more players and more views, because the more views we bring in, the better we're going to come up, the better solution we're going to produce.
Definitely. And I know the Vanguard team is working already for the 2021 event, and as well as webinars and different podcasts. We'll certainly be there to support this. You're listening to Vanguard Radio. And joining us today is special guest, retired Colonel Richard Fawcett. He is the Director of Strategy and Customer Engagement, Land and Joint Solutions at General Dynamics Mission Systems. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hey, it's been my pleasure.
I also want to invite our readers and listenership to check out the new Vanguard Media website. There are a number of options there. Content is still free, but we have a special program where you can subscribe for a paid subscription and get a whole bunch of other options, including special newsletters and reports. More importantly, you're supporting a great cause, Wounded Warriors Canada. When you take a subscription with Vanguard Magazine, a portion of the proceeds go to this wonderful association. So I hope you'll check it out. And Rick, once again, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I look forward to doing it again.